Revelation chapter 2. I'd like to be a little more polished and formal, so I have Dale here to help me with that. But I want to take a thought here, and I'll be honest, in Revelation 2, there's three applications I believe I'd like to make through this, and this is not disparaging to anybody. It's just a matter of understanding where we are, and so you might be able to make a physical application, personal application, whether you be a man, whether you be a woman. There's an application for each of you here, in the sense of the actual event, the actual application is taking place. But if you are able to grasp, and if you don't, I wouldn't hold that against you for anything. And if you have questions, then like Pastor said, raise your hand. He'll be glad to answer them. And so, but I'd like to make the spiritual application. And those of you that can't understand the spiritual application, I want you to see in this text of Revelation chapter 2. And I want you to see, we're going to look at the works of Jezebel. And I want to deal a little bit with Jezebel. But the three things I want to deal with, I want to make the application to not just to a young man, but to an older man, the seduction of Jezebel. And help us to see how she seduces. I want, for the ladies, I want you to, and I don't know any other way to put it except don't be a Jezebel. And so that's the application for you, is to not be a Jezebel. And then the third application, of course, is the Antichrist church. This one world church, this coming together, these seducing spirits that are in the world today, that are drawing religion as a whole under a great umbrella of togetherness and unity. And of course, I want you to see that is the seduction of Jezebel. She's the prophetess and she seduced the people of God. And so if you're able to make that application, I want you to be able to see this. I won't get into Revelation 17 too much. Some of you that know the text there, you'll be able to see her as the mother of harlots. She is the harlot of harlots. She wrote the book on harlotry, if you will. Not only in that she was a harlot, and the fact that she, has actually a namesake. If you ladies know, if somebody says she's a Jezebel, you may not know who they're talking about, but you know what they're talking about. And so we want you to see in this case who they're talking about. But here in Revelation chapter 2, under the angel of the church, verse number 18, in Thyatira write, "These things saith the Son of God, who hath his eyes like unto a flame of fire, and his feet are like fine brass." So this is the Son of God speaking unto the angel of the church of Thyatira. And he said, "I know thy works and charity." And he goes through righteous works. He said, in service and faith and thy patience and thy works, and the last to be more than the first. So he said, "I know thy works." And then again, he goes through some things. He says, "I know thy works. But notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee." And to the church of Thyatira, he writes, he says, "Here's what I have against you, is that ye have suffered that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols." The Lord tells the church, "I have this against you. You've allowed this prophetess to come in." And by the way, there's never been a prophetess in the New Testament days that prophesied well and prophesied, I believe, accurately. And I won't get into all that just for the sake of time and a few other things. But she calls herself a prophetess, and she's teaching and she's seducing the servants of God. So it's not just that she is seducing babes. It's not that she's seducing lost people, strangers. But she's seducing his servants, and he says this, to commit fornication. And so he says, and also then to eat things sacrificed unto idols. So there's two things that she is seducing. She is a seductress in offering men fornication. Now he's writing this to the church. And so we see that this fornication and the application, of course, I believe is going to be a spiritual application. That we, when you leave your first love and join unto another, you're joined unto a harlot. Just as if you leave the purity which God has called you to and join yourself unto someone that's not your spouse, you commit fornication. And you join yourself to a harlot. And then he says, "And eat things sacrificed unto idols." And I gave her space to repent of her fornication. He's talking about Jezebel, and she repented not. So I want to take this thought. I'm going to go a little bit more in this chapter. We're going to read another text in just a few minutes. But I want you to see this thought here, that the Lord gave Jezebel space to repent. What the Lord is doing, what Jesus Christ does, Satan always replicates in the spirit of Antichrist. And you can't tell a lot of times, unless you're very spiritually discerning, you can't tell the real from the replica. And sometimes when you're spiritually discerning, it takes a long time to see that this is a false Christ. A preacher said years ago, Brother Don Green, he said, you know, anywhere that Jesus Christ is building a church, the devil's across the street building a worship center.
That's right.
And so when we see the true church, we see also an Antichrist church, which replicates the true church. That's the work of the Antichrist. He is a mimicker, if you will, of Jesus Christ. He will try to appear as Jesus Christ. But there are some things that we see in this Antichrist church, some things we see in Jezebel, even though she has seduced the servants of the Lord to commit fornication. He said, the Lord said he gave her space to repent. She repented not. Now, I believe in the realm of Jezebel herself, the person, we see that Ahab, with the Lord, found a place. You can call it repentance. You can call it humility. The Bible does say that he humbled himself before the Lord. And I believe Jezebel could have humbled herself before the Lord when Ahab did. And the Lord did not pour out his judgment upon Ahab because of that, but rather he chose his children to execute his judgment. Jezebel could have repented, but she repented not. I don't want to get hung up here. We'll be here too long. He said, behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. So, is the church going into great tribulation? I'm just asking the question. The church is not going to great tribulation. So he said, I'm going to cast them that commit fornication with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. I believe for a man to get born again, truly born again, there's some things he must come out of. There's some things he must separate himself from because of being born again. Come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord of hosts, and touch not the unclean thing. Now, the biblical principle is you can't love two masters. You'll love one, you'll hate the other. You can't serve, rather, two masters. You'll love one, you'll hate the other. You cannot serve the Antichrist church and the true church.
Right.
Randy, you got a question.
Well, if it's a different master of two different subjects, say you're doing a job for one master and another job for another, can't you still love both of them?
Can you have, the word master being that person that's over you, could you truly have two masters? True people over your
having
life.
Two jobs is different than having two masters. I have two jobs, but only one master.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, a master is someone that's over you. It'd be your, taskmaster Asquith would be over you at this point in your life. You know, there can't be another one. Brother Dale cannot rule your life. And Brother John rule your life. He just can't do that because it would cause confusion. It would cause you to despise one. You might hate one and love the other. And so no man can serve those two masters.
So more of a conflict of interest?
It would be somewhat of a conflict of interest, yes. But in the spiritual realm, it's not just a conflict of interest. It is that you can't serve Jesus Christ and mammon. You can't chase after the things and the affairs and the monies of this world and serve Jesus Christ. You must have one master, and he is the Lord Jesus Christ.
Gotcha.
Okay. So she goes on and says this, that they're going to great tribulation except they repent of their deeds, and I will kill her children with death. And then all the churches shall know that I am he that searcheth the reins and hearts, and I will give unto every one of you according to your works. So here we see he deals with this matter of he's going to judge Jezebel, giving her space to repent, but then he says he's going to cast her into a bed with all those that commit adultery. Now, what is adultery? We're talking about in spiritual adultery. Those that have rejected truth, those that have rejected the Lord Jesus Christ and are following a very close replica of truth, and they're following the Antichrist church or the Antichrist spirit, which is in the world today. That's the premise I want to lay the groundwork. I think we're okay with laying that. Pastor, do you have anything to say at this point? I want to turn to Proverbs chapter number 7. And I want to use this, and I believe I can use this correctly. to identify the seducing spirit, the seduction that comes along with Jezebel.
Right.
There are men have waxed worse and worse. And there are seducing spirits that are in the world today. Religion has offered people, if you will, an anesthesia when it comes to truth. They'll give them a little bit of truth, and then they'll water it down to where they're comfortable, and they'll water it down to where it's like it's a painkiller, and it waters it down to where there's a little bit of truth, but it's mixed with so much error that you can't possibly receive the truth in the middle of the error. People, you say this, don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. Well, it's not a matter of throwing the baby out with the bathwater. It's that you need to take the baby out of the bathwater, clean the baby up, throw the bathwater out. But you still keep the baby, all right? And so it's a matter of separating from error. Clinging to truth, loving the truth. Jesus Christ is what? The way, the truth, and the life. And so we know that he is the truth. And so we have to separate, not just from the doctrinal error, but have to separate from the seduction that Jezebel has offered. And he, and by the way, Jezebel is trying to seduce the church. Trying to seduce the servants of the Lord. She's trying to seduce even the blood-bought child of God. But more than that, she's especially trying to seduce those of you that have not been saved by the grace of God. And she's trying to lure you into her bed and trying to lure you into a false religion, yet with a contentment that you could say, I'm religious. And often when people even say, I've been born again, I'm saved, you know, whatever portion of their religion has taught them to try to mimic the real thing, which is genuine salvation, true salvation, which is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ.
That's right.
We see here in Proverbs chapter number 7, and the writing, he says, my son, keep my words and lay up my commandments with thee. Now the admonition here is to a young man, my son. And so young men, old men alike, take this as a father writing to a son and warning him of the wiles of this woman Jezebel. Take it as a physical warning. Take it as a reality, because young men, old men alike are going to be faced with this possibly every day of their lives till the day they die. There are Jezebels out there. There are Jezebels galore. And this world is filled with Jezebels. Now, young ladies, old ladies alike, you take this as, don't you be the Jezebel. You're not to be a seductress. Your attraction is not to be exterior. Your attraction is to be an internal attraction. It's not to be external. It's to be the matter of your heart. That, by the way, that heart, I believe, relates to the countenance then, and it'll come out in you. The joy that you have and the walk that you have with the Lord can be seen, I believe, a lot of times in your expression of who you are. But most women try to express themselves through the visual. They want to be seen. They want to be noticed. They want someone to sit up and take notice of them physically, and that's what Jezebel did. She is a seductress. She is. Well, we'll give some descriptions here. We'll go into it ahead of time. My son, keep my words. Lay up my commandments with thee. Keep my commandments and live. And my law is the apple of thine eye. Bind them upon thy fingers. Write them upon the table of thine heart. And so, young men, remember these things. Bind them on your fingers. When you raise your hand to greet Jezebel, it ought to be written on your fingers that Jezebel is a seductress. When your heart is to be given to a woman, you don't want your heart to be given to a Jezebel. So you write these things upon the table of your heart. It's a spiritual checklist, if you will. Okay, here's this woman. I've just met her. Does she meet this, 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 this? And by the way, it ought to be a long checklist too.
Yes.
This, 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 this. And any exclusion on the checklist, you just go ahead and scratch her name off, discard it, don't even worry about it. It ought not cross your mind one more time. Why? Because she's not met the qualification. And so you write these things upon the table of your heart. We grain these things in your heart so that you know exactly what God wants for you and what God desires for you when it comes to this matter of a woman. And by the way, God has never put his stamp of approval on fornication. God has never put his stamp of approval on adultery. God will never put his stamp of approval on fornication. There is no relationship outside of the bond of marriage that God will put his stamp of approval on, that honors God, that glorifies God. A man that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. We know that from the scriptures. And so take that to heed, young man. If a woman in her desire and your desire is a physical attraction and it's a lustful attraction, it's not of God. And that's how Jezebel is seducing. I said, if it's a physical attraction, and all you have is a physical attraction, it's not of God. Amen. I was attracted to my wife, but that wasn't the only attraction. She was even attracted to me. I know it sounds odd, but she was attracted to me. Why? Because the Lord gave us that attraction. But it wasn't I just saw her and thought, hubba, hubba, woo, mama, woo, you know, and I pick on her about that. That's not the reality. That's not what took place. Why? Because it's not the physical attraction that the Lord put us together. Amen. There was a greater attraction than that. And so I just use that as a testament to the Lord, to give him the glory, not trying to boast in us, right, but to give God all the glory for it. So he says, say unto wisdom, verse number 4, thou art my sister, and call understanding thy kinswoman. Mm-hmm. The Bible says this, in the church, to treat the younger as sisters, and the Bible says this, with all purity.
That's right, brother. Yep.
The elder, to entreat them as what? As mothers. Mm-hmm. And if you have problems and issues and maybe you're just not quite right and you're attracted to your mother, then you got a whole lot deeper problems than that.
Yeah, buddy.
But if you entreat the elder women as mothers, you'll never have a problem.
Right.
If you entreat the younger as sisters with all purity.
Yes, sir.
That means you have no intention at all outside of the fact that this is truly my sister.
Amen.
You won't have any trouble.
That's right.
So Proverbs tells us this. He says, say unto wisdom, thou art my sister. Mm-hmm. I'm going to hold on to wisdom and love wisdom and cherish wisdom as a sister. Why? Because I don't want to get caught up in lust.
That's right. Yes.
And he says, goes on and says this, and understanding thy kinswoman. Mm-hmm. It's a dear relative of mine. This is someone close to me.
That's right.
Now I have armed myself to where now I can face a woman and not have confusion in my heart and in my mind.
That's good, brother.
Let me just pause for a second. The average man today sits in front of the television set, lusting after whatever crosses the screen.
Oh, yeah,
and it's on purpose.
Yep.
I mean, there are men that go out and buy Huggies wipes because some woman in a bikini was selling Huggy wipes. And he's so silly in his mind that if he switches to Huggy wipes, I really think some men actually think she's going to show up in the bathroom dancing on the sink. The seduction starts with the filth that you pipe into your house.
That's right, brother.
It comes in through the magazines, it comes through the internet, it comes through the television, and it comes through, well, some places, it comes from looking out the windows.
Uh-oh.
I'm just telling you the truth.
That's right.
You know, my wife, like, honey, don't look out the windows, which is really the worst thing you can do. I'm sitting in my recliner, I can't even see the window. Honey, don't look out the window. And, you know, I'm a guy, I'm like,
what do you mean?
There's a wolf, even the baby in the backyard knows. I know why she's coming out to look out the window. Amen. It's not a train wreck. You know, she'd call me for that. Honey, come look at this. But, you know, it's the neighbor mowing the grass in the bikini. And why is she out there mowing the grass in the bikini? It's not that hot. It's never, why do they jog on Main Street? I mean, have you ever seen anybody on 11th Avenue in the corner of Vine and 11th jogging in their underwear? No, you see them on Main Street jogging in their underwear. Why? Because they want to be seen. I'm just stating some things that are factual. I mean, you don't see them jogging on the back roads. I mean, they could go run the railroad tracks where an engineer might see them maybe once every 3 or 4 days at the most. They don't jog back there. No. They go right down Main Street because they want to be seen. So this world is filled with the temptation for a man. And so this man, when he says, I can embrace this understanding and I can make understanding according to the word of God, he said, keep understanding thy kinswoman. It will help alleviate that problem. I have an understanding. That doesn't belong to me. That's never going to belong to me. And I don't care how much your pride of life creeps in. You know, I had a 64-year-old, 63-year-old retired Marine. And he'd been called to preach with the Philippines for several years. Got sick so bad with a blood disease from the sewage that he had to come home. And he told me in the Philippines when I was over there with him. And he said, Brother Tim, he said, you know, it's amazing. He said, I'm 400 pounds. I've had 2 heart attacks, 3 strokes. He said, you know, he said, I can't even hardly get out of bed. He said, I'm a fat slob. I'm bald. My teeth are rotten. I got Agent Orange and my back's crumbling. He goes, I got to walk with a cane half the time. He goes, some little 16-year-old girl comes up and flirts with me at the table, some waitress. And he goes, in my mind, I think, boy, I can still get that.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
I don't know if you want to ask a question now or not, Randy. You go ahead.
You're making a point about men being seductive, but what about the other way around? What about all the womanizers of the world?
You mean men seducing women?
Yeah. You've mentioned one side of the topic, but what about the other half?
Well, let me do this, Randy. Let me finish.
This lesson is on the woman's side.
It is, because it's a different...
Stick around for 65 days, you'll hear it from the other side.
This is from an angle, because we're making a spiritual application here, that Jezebel seduced. A woman has a way to seduce that a man cannot seduce.
That's right. Yeah.
You know, I don't stand on a street corner and flick my hair and bat my eyes at cars going by. It just doesn't work. A woman uses a, I don't have hair to flick, but a woman seduces differently than how a man seduces, and that's the application we want to make, okay?
So what, seduction is just that much easier for a woman to do?
Yes, I would say probably, that's probably a good, probably, that would be a good statement, yes. Yes. A man can only seduce with one thing.
Men are more stupid.
Yeah.
If you really want to know.
That's what it is.
Takes a little more work than the woman. They're smarter.
Let me guess, the one thing they seduce is with their muscles, and I'm not going to say it.
But it doesn't even work with my muscles, Randy, I'll be honest. The only thing that seduces a woman for me is if I had $1,000 in my teeth. That's the seduction for a woman. You think about that for a while. You'll figure it out. Okay. Okay. Verse number, don't think about it anymore, Randy. Verse number 5. That they may keep thee from the strange woman, from the stranger which flattereth, and here's the key, with her words. So when you write these on your heart and you have these on your fingers, it's going to keep you from the strange one that flattereth with her words. The pride of life has an amazing effect on a man and how he responds to flattery. We all love to hear flattery. And I love to, I mean, I'd like to be flattered. I told you last night, somebody tell me, hey, it's a great message. I mean, pat me on the back, wonderful, great. I love to hear it, whether it's true or not, I still love to hear it. But the problem is that flattery can sway me. That flattery can actually change how I think about things. That flattery can change how I relate to other people. And so it's those flattering lips that Jezebel opens and begins to use, and she uses her flattery to try to sway. If I continue to compliment you all the time, eventually you might believe it. Right?
That's right.
We had a tremendous meal tonight. I won't say where, but we had a tremendous meal tonight. And everybody was going on and on and on about the meal. And I thought about just being the naysayer, just in case it went to her head. I thought about being the only naysayer and just saying, well, that was awful. But eventually, if somebody starts telling you something long enough, they begin to believe it. And it may be true, but there's some people you don't want to hear it from. Jezebel's one of them. I'm a married man. Whether I was single or married doesn't matter. I don't need flattery from another woman. It's fine if a lady says, you know, preacher, I appreciate that message. It was a help to me. Or, you know, I appreciate this. Or, you know, but, you know, you have beautiful hair. You know, you're so handsome. I mean, what an odd, strange statement. But that's the flattery with the lips. That's just lip service. It's all this. There's no grounding to it. There's nothing behind it. It's just flattery. Guys use that more than women do most of the time, right? They'll flatter with their lips. They'll speak great, swelling words, and she'll get giddy and giggly, and she actually believes it. But he's told 20 other girls the same thing that same day. But she actually's dumb enough to believe that he really means what he's telling her. And so, you know, we see the flattery of the lips. Now, I want to start here, and he says, he explains why he's telling his son this thing. Verse number 6, he's, for at the window of my house, I looked through my casement and beheld among the simple ones, I discerned among the youths, a young man void of understanding. So he identifies this, that void of understanding is a lack that he might have a little bit of knowledge of a woman. But he doesn't have the understanding of a woman. That's why he said, make understanding thy kinswoman. You draw close to understanding. You have not just the head knowledge, but an understanding of how this woman is going to work in your life. And so he's not seeking understanding. He's not seeking any type of wisdom. He's void of understanding. And I saw this simple young man, just void of understanding, just living life, living in the hog pen if you could, or on his way to the hog pen. That's about where he's ahead. And he's just absolutely void of any type of understanding concerning the ways of a woman. And he tells his son, I saw this young man, and here's what happened. He was passing through the street near her corner. Whose corner? I'm just going to say, for the sake of our lesson tonight, Jezebel's corner. And he's got too close, by the way, to her corner, and he went the way to her house. Now, again, it's said oftentimes, most men don't walk down a street naively. We talked last night, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Yeah. The Lord does not guide good men past Jezebel's house.
Sure,
he orders their steps around the block. He orders their steps away from Jezebel. He orders their steps where they can avoid Jezebel. But here's a young man who's void of understanding. Mm-hmm. His steps are not led of the Lord. He knows Jezebel lives there. No man has ever just fallen, and forgive me for being real honest about this, but no man's ever just fallen into sin.
That's right, brother, yeah.
David looked.
Sure did.
People, I've heard preachers say Bathsheba shouldn't have been bathing out there. David shouldn't have been watching her bathe.
That's right.
I would say, I would go as far as to say this, and you can disagree if you want. David knew she'd be there. He knew the time should be out. It's not just a coincidence and all of a sudden, oh, there she is. No, knows the time and the place. A man doesn't fall into Jezebel's snare unwittingly. Most men, I say probably all men, but that's a pretty bold statement. I say most men, they know exactly where they're going. They know why they're going, even if they're just going down there to play with the temptation. But when that look leads to lust, they're on their way down.
Sure.
I could say this young man, I believe, knew where he was going.
Yeah.
Everybody in town knows where Jezebel is. If he has a mom with any sense, mom's saying, son, that's Jezebel. As a pastor's wife with any sense, son, that's Jezebel. As a pastor with sense, son, that's Jezebel.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
He doesn't have to throw Jezebel out. He just has to let everybody know that's Jezebel. You don't go down there. Don't walk down that street. My wife will let me know. Some of you men can nod your heads secretly and say, you know, your wife will let you know.
Yeah.
She has that sense. Every once in a while, my wife, she'll just say, honey, you just watch her. Honey, you watch her. Honey, you stay away. My wife has that sense. Thank God God gave her that. I don't have any sense. Oh, she wants help.
Yeah.
I can help her spiritually. My wife said, no, you can't. It's Jezebel, you can't help. Amen. Come on now.
Right.
So he goes down this street. Let me move on. He goes down the street, and he passes near the street near her corner, and he went the way to her house in the twilight, in the evening. He's getting ready to go into the cover of darkness, because men love darkness rather than light.
That's right.
I mean, they don't go out, well, except for, well, I won't say that. But anyway, except for some people, most of them don't go in the middle of the day. They go into the cover of darkness in the night. And the Bible said this, in the black and dark night, and behold, there met him a woman with the attire of an harlot, and she was subtle of heart. There is an attire of a harlot. Jezebel dictates clothing. Let me just go ahead and give me my little stump speech, get out of the way, we can move on. But let me just, if you would, give me liberty to give my little stump speech. I've watched young ladies who watch the Disney Channel. And what do they mimic? They mimic the Disney Channel. They dance like the little Jezebels on Disney. You say, oh, they're not little Jezebels. Well, they're just waiting to grow up. That's all.
That's right, brother. Yep.
They're the daughters of Jezebel. But God gave us space to repent. So they dance like them. They sing like them. They dress like them. They make up like them. Just out of curiosity, I've questioned sometimes, how old are these girls? They look 20, 25, 23 years old. And you find out they're 12, they're 13. You know, Disney, in their vileness and their wickedness, they paint them. I'm trying to think of a third piece. Somebody help me out. They pad them. And they prompt them. I don't know what else they have. I'm trying to find a third piece for a good outline. But they paint them up, they pad them up, and they put them out. And they put them on display, and little girls all around this country, they want to mimic what they see because it seemingly on the outside is a wonderful life. She's chipper, she's happy, boys like her, everybody loves her, she's kind of ditzy, you know, and little girls just flock to that. And then teenage girls, they follow, and then when they get older, then they go buy their music albums. And they listen to their music. And they dress like them. And they act like them. And they talk like them. And they try to mimic their hairstyles. They try to mimic their makeup. They try to mimic their clothing. And then they go down to the clothing store. And of course, the rock stars are selling clothing today. And so they're buying their favorite rock stars or rock musicians' clothing. And it's designed, why? That a man can look at her and in his heart he can lust.
That's right, brother.
After her. That's the attire of a harlot.
Mm-hmm.
Not being real plain, just kind of being vague about it, to be honest with you. But it's the attire of a harlot. What is the attire of a harlot? It's that I can seduce you with my looks. Jezebel's a seductress. Jezebel could care nothing less that if every man in the world would look at her and in his heart, that he would desire to have her. That's why men can sit there and watch all these music videos, and that's, by the way, I don't see how a man can sit there and watch all these television shows to begin with, but all these award shows and these concerts and all this. But the women come out in seductive harlot attire, and a man can sit there and endure that because as long as he can look at that woman, and in his mind he can conceive that one day he could have a woman like that, as long as he can conceive that and put that notion, keep that notion in his mind, he'll watch that trash until it's time to go to bed. Why? Because she's a seductress. And she's caused many of the servants of the Lord to commit fornication. And people today say, well, nobody has the right to tell me how to dress. And the silliness of that statement is that television's telling you how to dress.
Right. They all do it, though.
You know, nobody has the right to tell me, but yet your friends dictate how you dress. You dress to please people. Mm-hmm. How silly.
That's right, brother.
You know, I'm just, honey, I, you're too bad you're here tonight, but it's just, it's this thing where,
okay.
You know, she'll go, honey, I gotta go fix my hair, and I'll say, well, it's just, you know, whoever it is. You know, and I say that just to antagonize her, you know, because, you know, that's why she's doing it. You know, if it's just Brother Dale and I, so my wife's not going to fix her hair all up and everything. But if you don't tell the truth, but if Sister Amy's along, if Sister Amy's coming along, then she's like, a little bit more at the end of it. And you make her say amen, she don't tell the truth about it. Why? Because there is a pressure. And I'm not saying they're carnal for doing it, I'm just saying, but there's a pressure. And how much more is that pressure in the world? To conform and have the look of the world, the styles and the fashions of the world. And yet, every young lady, old lady, like, but that's why grandma today, most grandmas dress like their granddaughters.
That's something, bro.
They shop at the same stores, they buy the same clothing, and they wear it the same way.
Yeah.
But somebody forgot to tell grandma something.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Grandma, you're not 18 anymore.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Grandma, you're 60 years old, you're 65 years old. And I've said it here many times, you ought to look like a grandma. Mm-hmm. Smell like a grandma. Again, what does that smell? Cinnamon and chocolate chips. You know, that's grandma's smell.
Yeah.
You know, she doesn't need to smell like Britney Spears.
Yeah, that's
right. Well, anyway, I won't get into all that. Anyway, my wife and I, I get these little cologne samples down there. I'm too cheap to buy that stuff. It's way too expensive. And I always go in there and I just go, you know, do you have those samples? And oftentimes they'll give me these samples. I mean, high dollar stuff. And I'll smell good for my wife just a little bit. And I don't pour it on like some people do. You know, but we look at the count and it's full of thousands and thousands of different odors and different scents. And, you know, can I get this? I hear people ask, no, we don't have that anymore. They don't make that. Now they make this one. And, you know, it's a multi-billion dollar industry in America just to try to disguise your odor.
Yeah.
Billions of dollars. Well, imagine how much the I call it the facial recognition department makes.
Yeah, right, bro.
Come in here and I'll change how you look. And they have a professional, and she's truly a professional. And she'll alter the way you look. Now, honey, if you do this, and she starts putting it here and putting it, and eventually she changes. I mean, there, and I'm just telling you, fact, I've known some, you all have known some. There's some women that you don't recognize without their makeup. Like, nice to meet you. Who are you, ma'am? You're just like, I'm your sister. Why? Because they've changed. Why have they changed their look?
That's right.
Because they want to be attractive. Television's made them feel ugly.
Yeah.
The magazines have made them feel ugly.
That's right.
The world has made them feel ugly. So they feel that they need to change their look so that they can be attractive by the world's standards. Mm-hmm. Well, what do you get by that? You might get some dirtball come down the escalator in JCPenney's to turn on a cat call whistle at you. What have you really accomplished? Mm-hmm. My wife, I hope, except for Sister Amy and Sister Ashley, she's trying to look good for them, but in the sense of beauty,
funny.
I hope she's only trying to look good for me. I hope she's only trying to look good for me.
That's right, yeah.
It'd be a sad day if my wife was so carnal that she's trying to look good for everybody else,
right,
trying to get attention from other men. Mm-hmm. And by the way, it would bother me.
Yes, it would.
That's right.
That's right.
But that's what Jezebel's doing.
Yep.
Some guys, they want a trophy. Well, you know what happens with trophies, don't you? When they get old and dusty, you throw them away and go get another one.
Right. That's something.
I mean, I'm telling you, too, the guys that had football trophies in high school, what do they have now? Bowling trophies. Why? Because you can't play football anymore. So when we do, I bowl now. I got my 300 ring. You know, but what do you do after that? You know, darts. I got shuffleboard. I got my shuffleboard trophy. You know, well, if a man has a trophy wife, it's the same thing. Whenever she's not a trophy anymore, what does he do? I mean, and Brother Dale, you know, you're a deer hunter. Is a deer hunter ever satisfied with his trophy?
No.
Never satisfied.
No.
Why? Because I, as a man, am never satisfied.
Yeah, that's right.
I got a 14 point, 292 pounds. He scored a 231. Some of you don't hunt, no. He scored a 231, fully dried. And everybody's like, wow, that's great. What are you doing tomorrow?
Going
hunting.
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah.
Not just using that as an illustration, but
it's true. Yeah.
Why? Because a man is not going to be satisfied with his wife if that's all he's for is for looks.
Yes. Yeah.
I'll just say this for my sake. If a man marries a woman just because she can cook good, what's he going to do if she can't cook anymore?
Go hungry.
That's right. That's right. Go to one of these French restaurants like McDonald's or something, you know. Anyway, so I'm running some little rabbits here. We're okay. We got a little bit of time. But Moab says this, verse number 11, she is loud and stubborn. And I don't know if there's any questions on that one. Anybody got a question on loud and stubborn? Okay, just wanted to make sure on that. Amen. Sarah, it's ornaments of grace for a meek and quiet spirit, were they not? That's what the Lord desires of a lady. I said of a lady. But Jezebel's loud and she's stubborn. Everybody knows her. She's loud. You can hear her a mile away. Because she's loud and she's stubborn. And she wants to make sure people hear her.
Sure.
That's a good, by the way, that's just a real quick mark of a Jezebel. If you hear it before you see her, just write it down. Her feet abide not in her house. Why? She's a busybody. That's why the Bible tells these young widows that they ought to marry.
Yeah.
But they're not busybodies. That by the way, if you're a young widow, you're going to be lonely. And so she's not going to want to abide in her house. She's going to become a Jezebel by not abiding in her house and stepping out of her house and constantly busybodying in everybody else's affairs. That's what Jezebel does. She knows all the gossip. She knows all the rumors. She knows why? Because she's not abiding in her own home. Now, let me just bring that to modern terminology. I mean, she might be on Facebook, but her heart's not in her house. Now you can just do it off the tip of your fingers.
That's right.
You don't have to leave your house. It used to be you had to go to the beauty salon. No offense, Sister Sharon. You used to have to go to the beauty salon to gossip, catch up on the gossip.
That's right, brother. Yes.
Not now.
Nope.
Now it's on the tip of your fingers.
Yep.
And to our shame, now it's just a couple swipes away.
Yes.
You know, and all the gossip of the world is spread all over the world. I mean, in seconds, it can be all over the world.
Yep.
To our shame. Mm-hmm. So she is without. Verse number 12. Now in the streets and lieth in wait at every corner. You can't get away from Jezebel. She's at every corner in the streets. Once you head down that street, she's looking for you. Once you take that step, she's looking for you. And she's lying at every corner. She's lying in wait. The Bible said this, so she caught him. She snared him. She grabbed him. And she kissed him. What is she saying in her kiss? What is her kiss telling him? What is a kiss? What is that first kiss at the altar? It's a seal. I mean, didn't you not? I mean, maybe I'm too young or simplistic, but I remember those little notes in like fourth grade, you know, SWAK, purple heart, sealed with a kiss. And, you know, some of you sent them, some of you received them. I don't know. I didn't do either one. But anyway, you know, that kiss is a mark of love.
Sure.
She kisses him. What does that young man do? And by the way, with impudent face, let me continue on. She said unto him, I have peace offerings with me. This day have I paid my vows. Mm-hmm. What is she telling that young man? I'm yours. I love you. Yet Jezebel's incapable of love. Why? Because she's a murderer. Amen. She cannot love. That young man thinks she loves him. She's a murderer. She doesn't love him. All she wants to do is trap him, seduce him. I would say this, Jezebel, I believe, is incapable of love. That's why she has to offer herself physically, because she cannot love. How do you know Jezebel can't love? Because she's never loved anybody but herself. When you study the life of Jezebel, look at the life of Jezebel, she was such a vile woman that the Bible said the dogs are going to eat Jezebel. Why? That they will not say, here is Jezebel. God so despised Jezebel that that he said, we're not even going to let her have a body to be buried, lest they go down and worship where she's buried and go down and say, here is Jezebel, put up a monument and a memorial to her. No, he said, Jezebel will be as the dung upon, I believe, upon the face of the field is the term the Bible uses. God despised her so much, he just let her become dung. They couldn't go down. They might put up a monument.
That's right.
But they can't say, here is Jezebel. Why? Because God completely annihilated Jezebel. All that was left was her hands, palms of her hands, her feet, and her skull. That's all that was left. She's incapable of love. Young man says, well, she just loves me. She's a harlot. And harlots can talk the talk. They can speak great swelling words. But as soon as he leaves, she gargles with soap and reapplies her lipstick and brushes her hair out. And she goes out in the street corner and she waits for the next victim to come by. That's what a harlot does. Young men, let that be a warning. Let that be a warning. Jezebel can't love. You see, the confusion, I don't want to get on the side trip, we're going to have to, but the confusion between love and lust is such a broad river between the two, but men are so confused, they intertwine love and lust, and they cannot separate them. They think because of a physical relationship, they think they love someone.
That's right, brother, yep.
And if you think that physical relationship is love, it might be because you've never known love.
That's right, brother, yep.
What if you can't have a physical relationship? You'll find out if you have love.
That's right. Yes, sir.
See, young man says, oh, I'm vim and vigor, and I'll, you know, she loves me, I love her. But if it's only physical, that's fornication, it's not love.
That's right, brother, yes, sir.
And by the way, Jezebel will just cast you aside and she'll go on to the next one. And young ladies, the man will do the same to you. That's Once he gets a taste for Jezebel, he'll just cast you aside, he'll go on to the next one. It won't faze him one bit.
That's right.
Until he finds love.
Yep.
She says, therefore I came up. Verse 15, therefore came I forth to meet thee, Jezebel talking, diligently to seek thy face, and I have found thee. And then here's her seduction. I have decked my bed with coverings of tapestry, with carved works with fine linen of Egypt. I have perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. And pastor, I'll just tell you what tied me with that. That's the passage that tied me in with Revelation chapter 2. Because if, as Jesus Christ is, so the Antichrist mimics.
Mm-hmm. That's good, brother.
And when I saw the myrrh, yeah, I saw the aloes, and I saw the cinnamon.
Oh, boy, look at that.
And the Lord let me see, there's Jezebel.
That's wow,
there's
good.
Jezebel
That's good.
Mimicking the truth.
Yeah.
Why? Why? Because the psalm tells thou the ivory palaces. Mm-hmm. It's all thy vestures. I can't think of the verse that slipped my mind. Let me turn back to the Psalm 58, is it not? Somebody correct me, please. Right, Psalm 45. That's what I was thinking. Thank you, brother. I always get confused. All thy garments smell of myrrh and aloes and cassia, out of the ivory palaces whereby they have made thee glad. And here's Jezebel. She says, oh, I have what he has. I have aloes, I have myrrh, I have cinnamon, I have the sweet odors of the Orient. Come and fill thyself with me. Why? Because I have exactly what you're looking for. I have a bed, I have tapestries. I have the finest silk, I have the finest linens, I have the finest odors. Come with me. And then she says this, come, let us take our fill of love, verse 18, until the morning. Let us solace ourselves with love. Why? For the good man is not at home, for he is gone on a long journey. That's how she's a false bride. That's why she's a false church. Because she's supposed to be married to another. But she says, all the good men's away.
That's good, brother. Yep.
He's on a long journey, so you come. You come and take your fill of me. We'll have our fill of love to the morning. She said, I'll love you until the morning comes. But after the morning, what next? What if the good man comes home? But a young man doesn't think that way. All he thinks about is that fill of love. A true bride, by the way, is going to wait for the bridegroom. She's not going to fornicate. She's not going to step out. She's not going to open her arms to another. Some of you don't understand that, but that's okay. We're trying to get back to that with the Lord's help in a little bit. He says he has taken a bag of money with him and will come home at that day appointed. And the Bible says with her much fair speech, there it is, her fair words, although so soft, so tender, beautiful, soft words, she caused him to yield. With the flattering of lips, she forced him. She spoke so much to him and talked so sweet to him that he could not escape her. She forced him with her flattering lips. Why? Because a man And all men, by the way, are susceptible. If they keep letting Jezebel talk, she can talk them into anything.
Sure thing, brother. Yep.
Why? Because he wants to please a woman. Mm-hmm. He wants to satisfy her. And so she continues to talk, continues to flatter, continues to tell how great he is, how strong he is, how much money he has, how wonderful he is. She forced him. This is the Bible says of him. He goeth after her, verse 22, straightway. Doesn't turn, doesn't swerve, goes straight at him. As an ox goeth to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of the stocks. Doesn't consider this. He doesn't consider looking at this. He doesn't realize that this is going to cost him his life. He's never going to recover from Jezebel. Why? The Bible says this, till a dart strike through his liver. Every once in a while, the Lord will give me something while I'm preaching. Doesn't matter how many times I've studied it, I don't see it. And I'm just silly that way. Just things I just can't comprehend in my mind. Well, I preached this message Friday night in Philadelphia, first time I ever preached this message. As I was preaching, I said that word liver. I thought the slowest death a man could have is one that's gut shot. It doesn't say a dart strike through his heart. It'd be instantly fatal.
Oh, yes, sir.
But the Bible says there's a dart that strikes through his liver. It doesn't kill him instantly.
That's good, brother.
But it kills him slowly. Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
I've written next to that passage, I'm an archer, and I got animals through the liver. Liver is the filter. Liver shot is a slow death. It pollutes.
Ooh. Yeah. Well, that's good, yeah, brother. That's yeah. Rich.
Yeah.
Yeah. Isn't that also kind of common sense?
Kind of.
Yeah. Yes, sir. Anybody else have any thoughts on that? Anybody else?
Well, that's good.
It doesn't kill him instantly. It's not a head shot. It's not a heart shot. But that's good, brother. Not only kills him slow, but it poisons him.
You know, I do have a thought on that. And I guess I go back to my days when I lived in fornication. I'm not proud of those days. They hurt me.
Yes, sir.
You know, a lot of people had these affairs where it's wonderful and you make a movie out. I never had those. It's always stuff I'd be ashamed if anybody saw it, knew
That's
what
right.
it was about, any
That's
of that.
Right.
Painful and such. But the pain of bad love.
Yeah.
Nothing hurts like bad love. It just hurts so bad. And I grieve for anybody that goes through bad love. And, you know, that idea of poisoning the whole body in a slow death, yes, it is. Keep you on the brink of suicide and no self-respect. And whoever you were with, you've done the same thing to them. And it's just an awful, awful, miserable existence. And I never found liberty like when I surrendered myself to the Bible and really started learning how God wanted me to find a woman.
Yes, sir.
As I say, he said that pollutes the whole body. It says that fornication involves the whole body in that sin. Mm-hmm. I mean, isn't that what it says? A man sins against his own body in fornication.
Right.
And that's polluting that whole, you know, I mean, that's that whole pollution of being wrapped, you know, that leper. Putting that garment, that dirty garment on there. And it just involves his whole body and it's just a slow, slow death. Death.
Yes, sir, that's good. Yeah. A dart to the liver. That's what fornication is.
Yeah, no question.
Amen. Well, thank the Lord for helping us with that tonight.
Yeah.
Boy, the Lord just shed some things on for all of us, I think,
no
tonight.
Question.
Thank the Lord for that. Anybody else? Comments, thoughts, questions, anything?
I think of raising my daughters in today's world and shielding them. I think that's our bigger burden that I feel right now is how to raise them that they're not that Jezebel, that they're going to want this life. Like you said, I mean, eventually I'm going to have to lift my wings. They're going to have to fly on their own. No.
Chris.
Yeah.
However.
Yeah.
Sharp shovel.
Yeah, that's right. The greatest thing, in all seriousness, the greatest thing you'll ever do is for you two to absolutely stay head over heels in love with each other.
Yeah, amen, brother. Yes, sir.
Never let that romance stop. Yep. So that your children long and want that.
Amen, brother.
Long
yes.
for it and never want anything different than what their parents have. It can't be, oh, the old lady and, oh, there's the old man. I mean, love with each other, preparing for each other, looking good for each other, keeping that alive, that your children so desire to have that.
You know, one thing that shows me this is the right path is you listen to the boys talk now. And it's not about what they want to go out and do so much, is they want to be dads. They talk about wanting to be dads. I'm like, and they're only 5 and 10 years old, and they do. They have conversations about when they have kids and what they're going to allow and what they're not going to allow.
It's funny, but it's great. Thank God for it. Because you're like, you know,
a lot of these, I don't even think I'm doing it right, but then you hear conversations like that, and you're like, well, maybe we are going in the right direction, and maybe we're not doing something. I mean, this whole thing just makes you think about your daughters and raising them in today's society.
Yeah.
We've had people pick on us because of how long I make the girls' dresses. And I'm like, I don't care. You're going to wear them because that's what's appropriate. The Bible says to do.
Can I say one quick testimony? Just to go what Pastor has to say. You know, the Lord Jesus gets all the glory for it. I mean, I preached it last Sunday. It was hard for me to stay with one woman for 13 minutes. I've been with my wife 13 years. I'm more in love today, and she's more in love with me, so Amen. She tells me, than ever. That's something that me and her in our past life would have never been possible.
That's right.
That 13 years of being together, we're more in love today than we ever have been in our entire life.
I just thank God
for that. I mean, I thank God for what He's given me here. I didn't deserve her, and I just thank Him for her.
Amen, brother Dale. Good. Anybody else want to roll? Yes, sir, brother.
I don't have daughters, but I have two sons.
Yeah.
Up until that child was born,
right.
I wouldn't be alone for too long. I told both of my sons, she's the one you marry, or she marries somebody else.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir, brother. Yes, sir. The rest of that, I'll finish that verse. If you can comment, that's fine. But he said this, a bird hasteth this snare and knoweth not that it is what? For his life. A slow death. All he saw, beautiful woman.
Yep.
It's dark, by the way. That's why bars are dark. Come on, man. That's exactly why they're dark.
Yeah.
Anyway, you don't know what, till the next morning, you don't know what you're taking home.
That's right.
Yeah, they keep them dark. There's a lot of places, not a lot more places. Concerts are always dark.
Yeah, that's right.
Why? Because it's for your life. Life. Here's where her house is. He says, hearken. All children, listen. Hearken unto me now, therefore, you children. Attend to the words of my mouth. Let not thine heart decline to her ways. That means you got to come down a notch. You said it. Raise your children. They have to step down to find Jezebel. They have to decline. They have to be on a downward slope to even stoop to. Not because they're better than Jezebel, but because they know who Jezebel is.
That's good, bro.
He says, don't decline to her ways. Go not astray in her paths. Now, I'll just say this in jest, but you know, the Word of God is a two-edged sword. Mm-hmm. Cuts both ways. When Chris talked about a sharp shovel, he has a two-edged shovel. The flat side knocks you in the head. The point digs your grave. She messed with his girls. He carries a two-sided shovel. And who can blame him? That's right, Randy. Why? Because she hath cast down many wounded. Yea, many strong men have been slain by her.
That's something.
They've died slow deaths at Jezebel's house. The strongest of the strong. Say this with all respect. The President of the United States, Governor, the Senators of New York, the Governor of Pennsylvania. Mm-hmm. Many men have gone down to Jezebel's house, not known as for their life. Mm-hmm. And they've ended up in office. But the strongest of the strong have gone down there, thinking that they could tame Jezebel. A lot of them thought they could calm her down. They could corral her. They could know she's a Jezebel till she dies. God gave her space to repent. She would not repent. She's a Jezebel. She has little Jezebel she's raising. The Bible says this of her in verse 20. Of her house is the way to hell, going down to the chambers of death. Do you not know it's for your life? We've heard some testimonies. Those been retrieved from the snare,
yes, thank
from
you.
The destruction, from the death of fornication. New testimonies we've heard. But her house is on the way to hell. That's where her house is. So how do you find Jezebel's street? How do you find the path she's in? It's because you're on the way to hell.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
boy. Yeah, man.
Tell me that won't preach.
Right. Yeah.
He He said this, going down to the chambers of death. You pass Jezebel on the way to hell. Now I want to say this real kind. I've met Jezebel at church.
Oh, yes.
But I knew she was in the wrong place.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't go to Jezebel's house because her house is on the way to hell. Jezebel's welcome to come visit. Mm-hmm. She's welcome to come. We're not going by her house because her house is on the way to hell. Let me take this last few minutes. What time do you usually stop, brother? A little before 9?
We normally stop at 9.
Close to 9. Okay. You know, the big thing is I watch that. Usually I try to keep it under an hour and 17 minutes because that's what a CD can handle.
Okay, well, that'd be good. That'd give us 22 minutes.
Okay.
But I want to take this. So go ahead and marketplace in Proverbs 7 if you would, or we can come back through either one. I want to go ahead and go back to Revelation 17. We talked about Jezebel, Revelation chapter 2. But I want to make this spiritual application. I want to help some of us. Some of you, if you don't understand, it's okay to feel free to ask questions. Please don't be ashamed to ask questions. I don't fully understand, as I understand so little about this that I'm actually ashamed how little I do understand. But in Revelation chapter 17, we see her again. We see in verse number 3, let's start there. Revelation 17 and 3. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness. And I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast, full of names of blasphemy, having 7 heads and 10 horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth.
And is there a reason why it's all capitalized?
Because it's a name. It's a title. And so it's been listed as such.
Gotcha.
To emphasize it.
So that's her. That's the names on her forehead. It's written. And verse 6 says, I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints. And I won't talk about bright red lipstick and all that, but it's there. And with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. And it goes on. I don't want to skip this just for the sake of. But it goes on. It talks about verse 14. He's going to make war with the Lamb. And it goes on down to the very end of this passage. And he says this, the woman which thou sawest is that great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth. Verse 24 says this of chapter 18. And again, I'm just skipping for the sake of time. Verse 24, it says this, and in her was found the blood of the prophets and of saints and of all that were slain upon the earth. In her was found their blood. So this is the mother of harlots. She's seductive. She's a seductress. She uses the physical. She uses the attraction. She uses the pomp and the beauty and the circumstance to draw people away from truth and to draw them into the harlot church. It doesn't matter what the title of the church is.
Right, yeah.
It matters what the actions of the church are.
Right.
There is a replica of the church.
Yes, sir.
There is a mimicry of the true church. Now, we'd all say, well, what is the true church? And one would say, well, it's the Methodist. And one would say, well, it's the Catholic Church. One would say it's the Lutheran. Some would say it's the Baptist. You know, what is the true church? The true church is the born-again believers, the children of God.
Right,
it's the true church. We have unified in this church, in this place. We've come together in, hopefully, in the bond of unity. We've come together. And why is it a church? Because it's the body of believers. This is the body of Christ. Mm-hmm. And we've assembled ourselves together for the pursuance of what? That we worship Him in two things, in spirit and in truth. Okay. So a lot of people have the name church. They have the sign church in front of their building, but they might just be there to worship in spirit. Meaning that they are going to get stirred, or they're going to have an arousal in the flesh because of the worship. We're going to sway, we're going to dance, we're going to leap, we're going to have great songs, we have great music, you know, whatever the case might be. There's others that just come for the purpose of truth. But we've come together, we've assembled ourselves, we're going to worship Him. Hopefully we worship Him in spirit and in truth. And so we've assembled ourselves on the foundation of truth. That's why we've assembled ourselves. Now Jezebel seduces outside of truth. She's trying to draw men away. She's trying to draw us away. Mm-hmm. She's trying to draw us away from the truth and trying to draw us unto fables. Why? Because these last days, men will turn from the truth, be turned unto fables. Why? Because they've heaped themselves teaching, having itching ears.
That's right.
They have teachers that tell them, or that like to be told how wonderful it is, how great it is, and they just scratch each other behind the ears. That's the day in which we're in. This is a day of seducing spirits where men don't know how to worship in spirit and in truth, and they're trying to attract men to themselves.
Yes, right.
Rather than attract them to the Savior.
Yes, sir.
Why? Because that's what Jezebel does. Jezebel says the attraction is me. The attraction is the beauty. The attraction is the physical. The attraction is the seduction comes when men are drawn away after their own lusts. This is the mindset, what the church can give me or offer me. What is that? That's lust. That's that I can have what I want and still have religion. I can have my desires and still have religion.
That's right, brother. Yes.
I can be who I am, and talking about the fleshly and your carnal appetites, mm-hmm. and yet still have religion.
Yeah, buddy.
I'm thoroughly convinced that the reason a lot of men will not say boo about the attire of a harlot, I'm thoroughly convinced, is because they enjoy it.
Better believe it.
And so they're not going to say boo about it. They're not going to say anything about the attire of a harlot, because when the little harlots come in and many Jezebels come into the church, they enjoy it. Mm-hmm. I've used this many times. I don't know if I've said it here or not, but my wife always cringes when I say things like this, and I say things wrong all the time anyway. But I've seen them come in the center aisle, center of the church, and walk up the center aisle. And it doesn't matter how wide the aisle is, she finds a way to hit the pew on each side with her hips as she goes up the aisle. And the next thing I see is a series of older men who usually sit near the aisle for reasons older men have to sit near the aisle for. And I see a series of older men, and all of a sudden, I just see them, as she goes up, they jerk. Because getting an elbow in the ribs.
Yeah.
The wife's nailed them.
That's right, brother.
And the wife will murmur about it and whisper about it, mm-hmm. and the guy will just deny it all. But nobody will say anything about it.
Yeah.
Nobody will address the issue of the attire of a harlot. And so now the seduction has grown, because of the silence, the seduction has grown to, it's grown in music. There is a music that seduces. There is the appetite of the world. And I'm just going to be real plain about this. I'm not going to tiptoe around this issue. But the world's music has just not crept in. It has blatantly kicked in the front door of the church, walked down the center aisle, sat up on the platform, and begun to play the drums. Why is the world's music? There's a church near where I grew up, about 2 miles from where I grew up. A man that I worked with several years ago, about 10, 12 years ago, he told me about this church, and he carried a King James Bible, this man did, which I thought was a little strange. He had a picture of his daughter in a bikini on his filing cabinet. I thought the dude didn't go hand in hand. But I went to the man, and we were talking about the church, and he said, we have, at that time, they had 9 worship venues in the church.
Boy.
Everything was on a big screen.
Yeah.
And there was one venue, and it's the traditional service. And most people, he said, go to the traditional service. You know, they want to sing a couple of hymns. They want an organ playing. They like that traditional service. But he said, then there's the country western venue.
Oh, my goodness.
And they have a country band that plays, and they country line dance in church. And then it's at an appropriate time, that's not the right word, but appropriated time, they click on the big screen, the pastor delivers a message, and everybody goes to the coffee shop and gets donuts and coffee, and they sit and watch the pastor talk for a while. And he said, and there's the R&B venue. And he told me, I'm just saying what he said, we're reaching out, he said, to people of other races to come. They had, at that time, they had a salsa venue, where they played Tito Fuentes and you know, type band, where they had the bongos and they had the trumpets and the different things, and they had a salsa venue. You'd go and you could dance salsa and you could listen to the music. This is 12 years ago. Who knows how many venues they have now?
That's right, you're right, brother. Yeah.
But the seduction is there for people. It's what Jezebel can offer me, not what I can offer him.
Mm.
And Jezebel has seduced people with her music. She has drawn away after their own lust. And I'm not trying to, I know there's some folks here, I don't know, you don't know me, but I'm just telling you some things I have seen. I see people that are addicted to music,
yeah.
and they'll choose music over the truth.
No question.
And that's what Jezebel is offering.
Yeah.
The seduction of Jezebel is when I'll choose my music over the truth of the Word of God. And the Bible says to love not the world.
That's right, brother.
Neither the things that are in the world.
That's
if
right.
any man love the world, what? The love of the Father is not in him.
Yeah.
Why are people going into great tribulation? because they love the world.
Yes, sir, brother. Preach it. Yep.
And Jezebel has seduced them to sidetrack them off what is a true church. What is a true church? It's the ground pillar of the truth. If we met, and we did it last night, matter of fact. We took prayer requests, we prayed, we had a message, we went home. And I don't remember one song. I don't remember one note of music. He would say, I wouldn't go to a church like that.
Oh, well.
Yeah, I would.
And yet, you know, even our young people just love the singing here when we do it.
Right.
They love
when it's done right.
That's right. They love it.
Don't mind I add something to that?
You can, yes, sir.
Pastor also gave you the choice whether or not you wanted to have music or not.
He did. That's right. You're correct, Randy. He gave us a choice whether we wanted to or not.
We didn't have a piano player.
But it didn't matter.
It didn't matter one way or the other. It would have been.
We had sung without the piano before.
That's right. And that's why I gave him a choice.
And if we had sang, it would have been grievous. But I just, I was tired. If for no other reason, Tim McVeigh was tired. He just wanted to get in the pulpit and get started. If for no other reason. Doesn't mean it was a great spiritual decision. I wasn't laying on the floor in prayer. It's just I said, hey, we're just going to get up there and get started. We might have a song later. We never did. And that's fine. But can you imagine? Go ahead, sir.
The other thing that's in every bar besides the darkness is the music.
Right.
Because you can't seduce without the music.
Go ahead.
The music's real important. Dale, the other day, heard a fine song off a fundamental preacher. Bought the man's CD, and most of it was rock and roll and drums.
That's right. That's all it was.
Yeah. Dale was so ashamed of it, he just said, Pastor, I can't even play at my house. One or two things that he could record and put on his computer.
My kids, when they heard it, they go, there's drums in that. We don't listen to that garbage. Did he not? He said, we don't listen to stuff with drums in it. And this guy here was, he had an awesome voice, man. He did, and just it broke my heart to hear that.
The seduction in the music.
It started in the 1980s.
Yeah.
There's a great, Billy Kelly. You know, we talked about it. And I was playing a song for my wife, and she's like, honey, do you hear that? And I really didn't hear it. I'm being honest. I said, no, I don't hear that. She's like, and I was like, oh, my. 1980s.
Yeah.
But the seduction is not just in the music. The seduction today can be in the performer. I've heard him sing right songs. Mm-hmm. And by the way, I'm going to say this as gently and as kind as I can. But when you make a choice and you try to mask what you call a spiritual decision and you base it on physical appearance, you're carnal. What I'm saying is if you say, well, we're making a spiritual decision, but it's really done out of a physical appearance. We love, and by the way, nobody likes ugly singers. I've learned that.
Yeah.
They never ask me to sing twice. Never. But I've been at meetings where they overlooked the Jezebel appearance because they got up there and they squalled correctly. And they sang the old songs. They sang them in a style appropriate for the church. But they were seductive in how they produced the song. And by the way, every one of them always had a CD for sale at the back table.
Yes.
Always.
You know what Frank Garlock said in Hamburg?
I don't. No, sir.
I thought you knew. But he just taught. He said, first of all, he said, I've watched all you singers. And he said, you ladies, take the microphone away from your lips. Mm-hmm. He said it's seductive. He said, you bring it right here. Mm-hmm. In every man's ear right here. Mm-hmm. I don't care. If a woman's talking in my ear right there, that's seductive. And he said, that's the first thing they do. He says, I teach my ladies, you put the microphone out here. Bring it right here. So you're right in all their ears. And it's just a different. Do you want to listen to music or do you want a woman whispering in your ear? Which one do you want?
Right. Right. Anybody else have a comment on that, by the way? Talk about the seduction. The draw. I didn't get as much as I thought. The Lord just held us up in some places we need to hold up in. Anybody else have anything? Randy?
Just for a bit of historical content, was there ever a male version of Jezebel? Or like, no?
Contradiction. Antichrist is as close as you'll come to that.
Okay.
Which is that's kind of what we're portraying here.
And Brother McVeigh, you know, I want to say this, and
yes,
I feel moved to the Lord to say this.
Yes, sir.
This is a church where most of the people in it have made every mistake we're talking about.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay? Mm-hmm. We're not a church with crystal clear, lily white people.
No.
And such. And one of the things that I guess, if there's anything that my heart boasts on before God, and so we have so many women in this church who really hurt so bad because of this kind of life, and God's delivered them.
Yes, sir.
Right. He's shown them another way.
Right.
We have ladies in this church who have horrible, shameful memories of things they've done, and today they are ladies.
Yes.
I mean, they are ladies. Yes. And God has delivered them. He has shown them this way to live. He has delivered them for this, and I love what you're teaching. It's good. I just don't want anyone to think that somehow this is a church full of people that are better than everybody else or something, you know.
Right.
And looking down, we get, you know, women will come in here and visit. I know they're running a hard life out there. You know, if you've ever owned a cat, you know, the cat will sleep on your chair. You let it outside. It lives a different life out there. You know, and if you don't believe it, it comes home with babies every 6 weeks, you know. But the thing is, I have women come to this church and visit. I know their lives are hard out there. I know they're going through that stuff and it's hurting them. I don't hate them for that.
That's right. That's exactly
nobody in this
right.
church hates them for that. They're trapped in it. It's destroying their life. What I love is when God begins to deliver them from that life and they really begin to have that happiness and
that's
God
right.
can give them and heal those things. It's a wonderful thing.
Yes, thank you, Lord. Yeah.
Yes,
yes, sir. Thank you.
And I've seen them, brother. I've seen them where they see I am Jezebel.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And when you see that, when you can acknowledge that, is when you can repent. There's no doubt. I thank God for that. Brother, go ahead.
Can I ask you just to tell us what I know that most of us know this?
We can do that, yes, sir. We'll go back to 2 Kings.
Wait, didn't you just say that the dogs ate her?
That's
they did, yes, sir.
Part of it.
So that was in Kings?
2 Kings.
Okay.
Right, and I'm going to go through briefly because it is 1:11, so we have exactly 1 minute. But, you know, Jehu, you know, slays Jehoram, shoots him with an arrow. And verse 26, 2 Kings 9, verse 26 says, surely I have seen yesterday the blood of Naboth. It's the Lord speaking. I have seen the blood of Naboth. Why? Jezebel convinced her husband to go kill Naboth. They brought false witnesses against Naboth. And took the vineyard after the false witnesses rose up against him. The people slew him. And King Ahab took his vineyard from him at Jezebel's request. But the Lord said this, that I have seen the blood of Naboth and the blood of his sons, saith the Lord. And I requite thee in this plat. Now therefore take and cast him into the plat of ground according to the word of the Lord. Brother, you might have some light on this. If you do, you can speak. But I was looking at that plat of ground. I was looking at that potter's field. Mm. With Judas, but
yeah, the blood ground, that's good.
But I couldn't. Mm. I just couldn't get. I couldn't quite grasp it. I don't know if you had anything on.
I do not.
Thank you for that. Good. You make me feel smarter. I appreciate that. Verse 30 of chapter 9, 2 Kings. And when Jehu was come to Jezreel, Jezebel heard of it. This is Jehu searching out Jezebel, and she painted her face. And that's not doctrinal, by the way. I mean, it's doctrinal, but it's not doctrinal like some would say. I mean, it doesn't mean she took a little Mary Kay and brushed it on her cheeks. But that's what people say. No, she literally painted her face. I mean, there was literally, I believe she painted her face. The Bible says that. And this is what it said, though. And tired her head and looked out at a window. So Jezebel's painted. She's looking out the window. She's waiting for him to come. And as Jehu entered at the gate, she said, had Zimri peace who slew his master? And he lifted up his face to the window and said, who is on my side? Who? He doesn't address Jezebel. He talks to the people that are in there. Who is on my side? Who? And the Bible said this. They looked out to him two or three eunuchs. And brother, I'm glad you brought this up. We preached this the other night along two different messages. But there were two or three eunuchs. There were two or three that still had purity that Jezebel had not seduced. Mm-hmm. And so the two or three men that have not come under her seductive ways and her seductress look, two or three eunuchs come, and I like two or three. I thought that was kind of interesting. Use the Bible's real specific. It's just two or three. Yeah. There's at least two or three. I mean, I thought that was interesting, Brother Dale. I have no light on that. I just thought it was interesting. Yeah. I was hoping Brother John would explain that too, but he doesn't help me out at all. And he said, throw her down. Yeah. So they threw her down, and some of her blood was sprinkled on the wall and on the horses, and he trod her underfoot. And when he was come in, he did eat and drink. And by the way, that's how concerned he was about Jezebel.
Yeah.
Amen. He trod her underfoot. And then he went and had a couple bites to eat and a drink and said, go see now this cursed woman and bury her, for she is a king's daughter. And they went to bury her, but they found no more for them the skull and the feet and the palms of her hands. Wherefore they came again and told him, and he said, this is the word of the Lord which he spake by his servant Elijah the Tishbite, saying, the portion of Jezreel shall dogs eat the flesh of Jezebel. And then here's the curse. And the carcass of Jezebel shall be as dung upon the face of the field in the portion of Jezreel. So they shall say not, this is Jezebel. I've been to many famous graves. Many. And I could say, this is George Washington. This is Robert Lee. This is Thomas Jackson. This is John F. Kennedy, Robert Kennedy. Been to Arlington. This is Joe Lewis. I've been to many famous graves. I've been down to the grave of my grandfather. And it says, here lies James Joyce McVeigh. And I believe my grandfather's there. But you can't go find where Jezebel's buried. Mm-hmm. There's no way you can go down there and say, this is Jezebel. Why? It was a curse of God. Mm-hmm. She was destroyed. She was dung on the fields. You know what she was doing? She was fertilizing, and for the sake of the message, she was fertilizing Naboth's vineyard, is what mm-hmm. she was doing. That's what God thought of Jezebel. Three portions to it. I didn't get in strong at all. Brother John will finish it all next week, or Brother Dave. Brother Dave wants you to finish all that next week. You know, of this, the picture that we do see of the Jezebel church, which is a false church, the seductress, the seduction that's going on in churches today.
Yeah.
It's damnable.
Yeah.
It's damning souls.
Yes.
There's no recovery for most people. Some will get saved out of it, but there's not many because they've been seduced. The great lesson tonight for us, no doubt, was for the ladies. About what it takes to not be a Jezebel. And what a Jezebel really is. Some of you may not have ever heard. What really is a Jezebel? What does it mean to be a Jezebel? Lord, might have helped you with that tonight. For us men, the warning's pretty severe.
Yeah, sure.
Her house is on the way to hell. Mm-hmm. Don't get caught up in Jezebel. Mm-hmm. Anybody else? Any comments, thoughts, questions? Yes, ma'am.
Oh, a couple. When you mentioned that thing that she doesn't care for the people that she's seduced, and that she was a murderer because she hates them. I mean, she hates the ones that she's seduced. For moms that have got kids, you can't do a better thing for your kids than to make sure the boys don't touch the girls at all. I don't care if it's play.
That's exactly
I don't
right.
care if it's... I mean, keep their paws off the girls. The girls keep their paws off the guys. That's all there is to it. And watch the way they dress. Please. Don't be getting dressed or undressed in front of your kids, or your kids
That's
getting dressed
right.
or undressed
no.
in front of their kids. It's just, it leads to confusion.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes, ma'am.
Amen.
I thank God for bringing us into this church so our kids will have a
Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen. Anybody else? See that old Stuart Hamlin song when I'm sitting here? The chimes of time. Bring out the chimes. Brother Dale, why don't you close this
sure.
out?
Sure. After a quarter. Thank you.